From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, May 8th, 2017. And on this day, we'll look at a network that helps kids fleeing violence in their home countries get settled in the Portland area. And Maine Democrats call on the LePage administration to do more to help kids in severe poverty. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the Law Offices of Joe Bornstein, dedicated to serving injured and disabled Mainers from Kittery to Caribou. JoeBornstein.com. And by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Maine Democrats say the LePage administration needs to do more to reduce the numbers of children in severe poverty. They are proposing the state access $150 million in available federal block grant funding. But Governor Paul LePage and other Republicans say the Democrats' plan to expand welfare would actually make many Mainers more dependent on state benefits. A.J. Higgins has our story.
Here in Maine, the poorest of the poor earn about $10,000 a year for a family of three. That's considered deep poverty. And Democratic House Speaker Sarah Gideon says the number of children in deep poverty is rising at an alarming rate.
The percentage of children who are living in deep poverty has increased at a rate that is a staggering 8 times the rest of the nation. And here in New England, Maine's rate of deep child poverty has increased at more than twice the rate of any of our neighboring states.
During a State House press conference, Gideon said the LePage administration has opted not to tap into federal block grant money that could be used to expand services for poor Maine families. She's sponsoring a bipartisan bill to help with some basics like housing and heat, create economic opportunities for families to get ahead, and, she says, make it easier for people to get back to work.
It doesn't matter who you are, where you live, or what letter you put after your name. The very idea of any child experiencing the sort of insecurity, instability, anxiety, and hunger that comes with poverty is just not acceptable.
Gideon says that during the years of the LePage administration, poverty, along with childhood hunger, has increased. And pediatricians such as Dr. Stephen Meister say children who experience hunger, poverty, inadequate early education, and inadequate health coverage experience lifelong and permanent consequences.
Children who are born into poverty and live persistently in poor conditions are at greatest risk of adverse outcomes. They don't have an equal opportunity. Poor children tend to remain poor and live in neighborhoods of low economic opportunity. And children in impoverished communities are at risk for bad health outcomes.
Gideon says her measure, known as LIFT, will address the most basic needs of families with children struggling with poverty and help improve their chances for employment later in life. Denise Bazzelli, executive director of the Piscataquis Chamber of Commerce, said about 1/5 of the 10 to 19-year-olds waiting to enter Maine's workforce are living in poverty and struggle to meet the skill requirements needed by employers.
These statistics, everything that we have heard, it should raise alarm bells for Maine businesses. Not only do they foretell rising poverty rates, but they also predict a growing pool of low-skilled workers at a time when Maine needs high-skilled workers. Maine cannot afford to squander the potential and promise of the next generation. They are our future. We must invest in them. And as we heard from Speaker Gideon, we cannot afford to lose even one.
Maine Department of Health and Human Services Commissioner Mary Mayhew opposes the LIFT bill and said Gideon and other Democrats are proposing irresponsible spending through welfare expansion. Mayhew says that rather than lift families out of poverty, Gideon's plan would actually make those Mainers seeking assistance more dependent on state benefits. Lawmakers will be considering the measure over the next few weeks. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
An Augusta lobbyist who testified on behalf of an offshore investment firm run by a controversial casino developer now says he made a mistake. Steve Missler has details.
Back in March, attorney Dan Riley told the legislature's Veterans and Legal Affairs Committee that he had been hired by Bridge Capital, an investment firm located in the Mariana Islands. Sean Scott, who could benefit from a casino referendum set to appear before voters in November, is a partner with the firm. Riley didn't have a lot to say during the hearing, but his claim that he was hired by Bridge Capital touched off a series of actions that could yield a hefty fine by the Maine Ethics Commission against the heavily scrutinized casino campaign. Riley now says his testimony was an error, and that he was hired by Universal Capital Holdings, LLC. In a letter to the VLA committee, Riley wrote that he had no idea who runs Universal Capital Holdings. Recent campaign finance disclosures show a web of domestic and offshore companies bankrolling the casino campaign. Universal Capital Holdings is not one of them. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Navigating life as a teenager can be difficult. There's prom, driver's ed, preparing for college, and managing relationships. But how about being a teenager from a foreign country without parents or an adult guardian to guide you? That's where a small informal network of caring adults comes in. Over the last 6 years, the network has helped unaccompanied minors who've arrived in Greater Portland legally on student visas after fleeing their own war-torn countries. There are no official numbers, but the group estimates about 60 students have settled in the area. Caroline Losneck has the story.
5 years ago, Lucky Hollander got an email she'll never forget.
From a friend of mine who is a school social worker, talking about a young woman from Burundi who was here alone and was living with a distant relative and the living situation wasn't working out.
Hollander had recently retired from her career in child welfare and advocacy. She and her husband had raised 3 daughters, but their house was now pretty empty, and Hollander couldn't get the young woman's situation out of her mind. So she and her husband talked it over and agreed to host her while she attended high school.
We discovered there were quite a number of unaccompanied minors in Maine for the same reason. So their parents or somebody they knew, if their parents had been killed, had gotten a student visa and had sent them over, but they weren't always stable and in a place that they could stay.
She also learned something else, that if unaccompanied minors found an adult to become their guardian before turning 18, they could then file for permanency, or what is known as a green card, under something called special immigrant juvenile status. And this, says Hollander, is a big deal, because it lets minors apply for a social security number and a work permit. It also keeps them from getting trapped in the complicated asylum pool, a process that can take many years. So the Hollanders applied to be the young woman's guardian.
What started out as just a bed on the 3rd floor for a few months until she graduated ended up to be not only this amazing new member of our family, but also we learned a lot about all the unintended consequences of young people being here by themselves.
While organizations like the Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project were helping on the legal side of things, nobody was helping with all the rest.
And I just thought that was wrong. I just thought it was not fair.
So her network, Hopeful Links, was born. The network has worked with 25 teenagers, mostly in Greater Portland. It's deliberately informal, and Hollander runs it mostly with a growing email list that reaches about 100 people.
What we are asking is, if you can't house, can you mentor? If you can't mentor, can you pay for a cell phone every month? If you can't do that, can you take them grocery shopping?
Most teenagers in the network have escaped countries experiencing civil war, human rights violations, and instability, or places where wars have reignited. Countries including Burundi, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and Rwanda. The way it works is pretty simple.
The school social worker or teen shelter call me and say, we've got an unaccompanied minor. They're in the shelter, and they really need a home and a guardian. So I activate my network.
And that's how Jasmine, whose real name is not being used to protect her identity, found the network when she arrived in Portland 2 years ago, after she fled Burundi with a relative. Her parents had died when she was a baby, and she escaped Burundi to get away from an unsafe living situation.
I didn't totally readjust. It was more of, how the hell did I get out? And what if, like, I don't get to stay? What if something happens? But whatever it was, I didn't mind the moving. The moving meant I'm here.
So Lucky was trying to find a home for Jasmine and asked me if I would consider being guardian.
Nancy Markowitz became Jasmine's mentor instead of guardian, and the only reason she isn't the official guardian is because there isn't extra room in her house. So Jasmine lives with another couple who are guardians. Jasmine and Markowitz have grown close. They complete each other's sentences and debate current issues. And Markowitz is helping Jasmine plan for life after high school.
Because I didn't know anything about American colleges and any of that.
What we did was the whole college tour.
She applied to 10 colleges, including American University, where she applied for early decision.
And she got in.
However, she had to decline the acceptance because she's independent financially and the merit aid she was offered wasn't enough. That's a big hurdle. Jasmine is not yet eligible to apply for federal student aid because she's still waiting on her green card, a process she and Markowitz started 2 years ago.
Every step along the way took longer than we thought.
And Hollander says after the election, she wondered if President Trump might stop the flow of student visas or if his anti-immigrant stances might scare people from trying to secure them in the first place.
We thought we might not ever see an unaccompanied minor again because temporary visas, whether they be visiting visas or student visas, are completely at the discretion of the country they're entering. So they have no reason to issue any more if they don't want to.
But unaccompanied minors are still arriving, and the network welcomed three young men just a month ago. Jasmine has friends in all three Portland high schools who are in the same boat. In the meantime, Markowitz says unaccompanied minors and their host families engage in what she calls a balancing act.
Young people, of course, are grateful that they have this safe space and this trusting thing, while at the same time, they have this responsibility to the person who's maybe hosting them. There is that sense of obligation that other young people don't experience.
Jasmine says she's had to learn to set her own boundaries and advocate for herself. She's also become friends with other immigrants from Burundi. But getting matched with Markowitz has changed everything.
I have friends who didn't have Nancy in their lives. And there's a whole emotional burden that people don't know about. Having someone to, like, help you through all of that and support you all the way and know that, like, I have somebody who's got my back, I'm not alone and all that, it's more than anybody could ever ask for, and I can never put a price on it.
Forever.
Yeah, like, you should, depending on how much she wants an annoying teenager in her life.
Well, you won't be a teenager for long.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caroline Losnick.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Monday, May 8th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Moore and Susan Sharon and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.